The following program contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
The original list was shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. This was all I could think of in one sitting. Just one try. Well, we had the answer. We had shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, and then we added fart, turd, and twat. Which also don't have other meanings. You know, twat's twat, and that's that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cunning linguist himself, August Donnelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back from the dead with a shaved head. It's time for August Donnelly's Full Frontal. Yes, indeed, you're tuned in to August Donnelly's Full Frontal here on WECH, so keep it tuned here for the next half hour or so. You're not going to want to miss this shit. Oh, foul language alert. Going forward, ladies and gentlemen, August Donnelly's Full Frontal will not be censored. There shall be no censorship. We shall be completely explicit and uncensored. Right at the top of the show, you may have recognized that famous audio clip. That is, of course, the late, great George Carlin with part of his act, Seven Words. The famous seven words, of course, which could not be broadcast on radio or television. Now, a lot's changed in the 40 or so years since that piece debuted, but really, at the end of the day, people still want to censor us. People want to keep us cloistered and quiet about whatever it is that we may wish to broadcast. So, going forward, there will be no censorship, there will be no apologies. Be warned, it could get downright offensive to some. But of course, my hope is that it's comical to most. Anyway, so much has gone on in the past several years, so much has changed, so much is new, I couldn't possibly address all of it right now. So keep tuning in, and hopefully I'll touch on the key points over the last several years as we go forward. Right off the bat, a couple of things that I simply have to mention. After a long, long wait and a life of suffering as a diehard Boston Bruins fan, my Bruins finally won the cup. I know this is old news, but it will never be old for Bruins fans. Yes, folks, in 2011, my beloved Boston Bruins won their first Stanley Cup championship in 39 years, ousting the heavily favored Vancouver Canucks with an impressive series comeback and Game 7 upset, 4-0, to end the series with an exclamation point and bring the Stanley Cup home to Boston. Obviously, if you're a Bruins fan, pretty great. If you're a Canucks fan, just about the worst fucking day in history. In addition to that, anybody who knows me or has known me for any length of time knows that I am a lifelong, diehard Boston Red Sox fan as well. Now, the Red Sox won their third World Series championship in a span of only 9 years in 2013, clinching the World Series deciding game on home soil at Fenway Park for the first time since 1918. That's right, folks. From 1918 to 2004, the Red Sox didn't win the World Series, period, for a stretch of 86 years. However, from 1918 until 2013, the Red Sox did not win the World Series in Boston at Fenway Park. So a 95-year drought came to an end with Big Papi, of course, delivering for Boston, as he always has throughout his Hall of Fame career. It was a great time to be a Boston sports fan. Also, my Hamilton Tiger Cats. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a Ticats fan. The Hamilton Tiger Cats went to the Grey Cup Championship game 2 years in a row, 2013 and 14. Now, unfortunately, they lost both of those games. However, that also means that they were Eastern Conference champions back-to-back years, 2013 and 14. All in all, each of my favorite sports teams went to the championship match in their respective sport in the year 2013. The Boston Bruins went back to the Stanley Cup Final, unfortunately losing to the Blackhawks in 6 games. The Boston Red Sox won the World Series. The San Francisco 49ers, who I've supported my entire life in the NFL, went back to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, their record fell from 5-0 in the big game to 5-1 as they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. And the Hamilton Tiger Cats went back to the Grey Cup Championship for the first time in 14 years at that point. So, all four sports teams that I support, the 49ers, the Red Sox, the Bruins, and the Ticats, all went to the major championships of their respective sports. Unfortunately, my teams had a 1-4 record in their big games, but that's a lot better than Leafs fans or Chicago Cubs fans can say. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Anyway, today on Full Frontal, we have an interesting and, again, candid, uncensored interview for you to enjoy. We're joined by William Margold, who sowed his wild oats, so to speak, during the golden age of porn during the 1970s and 80s, who was also a personal friend of the infamous John Holmes and others. Keep it locked right here on WECH. You are not going to want to miss that interview. Folks, it's around this time of year, the Christmas, Hanukkah, holiday season, that we often tend to get nostalgic, and I'm no exception to that rule. It was 5 years ago this month, while touring around New York City, that I got hooked on the single Empire State of Mind. So right now it's time for a full frontal throwback to a segment I like to call August's Audibles. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the 2009 smash hit Empire State of Mind by Jay-Z featuring Alicia Keys. Check it out.
I'm out at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from. I made the Yankee hat more famous than a Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit, home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice, CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace, Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State. That's so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the Apple Eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the high life. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
City.
ladies and gentlemen, people of all ages, it's time for the interview I mentioned at the top of the program. This is a 2011 interview with William Margold that I was previously unable to air due to the aforementioned censorship issues, which will no longer be a problem here on Full Frontal. Enjoy. Please welcome the Renaissance man of porn, William Margold. Bill, thanks so much for making some time for the show.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm honored.
If you don't mind, could you give the listeners just sort of a brief thumbnail sketch of your background and how you became involved in the adult film industry?
Well, it's a lot of thumbs, and it's interesting that you referred to me as the Renaissance man because I came into the industry way back in 1971 to write stories about it, never figuring that I would become part of it on the level that I have. I really aspired to be the George Plimpton of pornography because George lived out a lot of male athletic fantasies, professional sports fantasies. George and I, Mr. Plimpton and I, are linked sort of at the perpetual hip through our worship of the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, while I was writing these articles, I found out I expected to fail in the get it up, get it in, get it out, and get it off area, but I did and discovered I could get up, get in, get out, get off, and fulfill that sort of fantasy for men of having sex with beautiful women. It's not really having sex with beautiful women so much as having sex with yourself, and the beautiful woman just happens to be in the scene. But I decided that I would now try and do everything, and therefore I guess I picked up the name Renaissance Man. And so I acted in films, if you want to call it acting. I directed them, I wrote them, and then I became an agent. I ran the biggest agency in the industry in the 1970s called Sunset International. Mm-hmm. And I became a Papa Bear to the kids, the Bear Cubs and the Tree of X that needed to be hugged rather than screwed. And then, of course, I became an activist with organizations, Fans of X-Rated Entertainment, Protecting Adult Welfare, Barely Decent, and, of course, the Free Speech Coalition.
Right.
I always wanted to be everything, not just one thing, and I guess the reason you're calling me is because I am everything.
Absolutely, as far as the adult film industry goes. I mean, you've done it all, that's for sure.
And you can check me out on BillMargold.com,
mm-hmm.
And you can always go to thepawfoundation.org to see what that organization attempts to do for the talent. And I've become the kind of person, the sort of go-to guy when you want to know about what went on in the early days when it was much more fun and was illegal. And we basically sort of massaged the law out here in California, where now it is the only legal state in the union to make X-rated films. The Hal Freeman decision of August 1988 ensured that, and I was involved in that. I wrote the movie, cast the movie. I would have been in the movie, but I don't like anal sex. Oh, I sort of wrote myself out of the part, theoretically. A character named Dr. Sheldon, which Ron Jeremy, the Hedgehog, wound up playing.
And again, the Hedgehog, the nickname that you gave Jeremy himself, if I'm not mistaken.
I've given a lot of nicknames. I speak in sound bites, in headlines, and in fact, right now I'm trying to think up a headline to fight this upcoming ballot measure that's going to demand condoms, and I'm in L.A. It made it to the ballot. It'll be on the ballot in July of 2012 or June of 2012, and I have this prevent condemnation.
Clever.
So that has all kinds of meanings, and then I also have don't let us be rubbered the wrong way.
Again, the good quip. So I presume, of course, this means condom use in the adult film industry.
In the films. And thing, I had a deal with them that we would have condoms mandatory for anal, optional for vaginal, and, of course, ridiculous for oral. And I have another way of putting it. Would you go to see your professional football team play touch football? Of course, we have here a wonderful stadium known as Memorial Coliseum, and I don't think I'd be going the Memorial Coliseum to see touch football. What the performers do are live out vicarious fantasies for the viewers. We are a masturbatory catharsis for the masses. And rubbers, unfortunately, bring reality into play, and reality has absolutely nothing to do with fantasy.
Yeah, because it's very true. I've heard people say that in their everyday life, the girl they dated in college or in high school or they're now dating or again, whether it's a straight couple, gay couple, whatever,
condom use is kind of the reality of the world, because there's pregnancy, there's disease, there's et cetera. Like you said, you don't want to watch pornography to escape.
Reality, and we don't deal in reality. We deal in fantasy.
Right.
We get the people up and off instead of out in the street with a hatchet in their hand. We relieve tension. We provide a release. And again, and I think I mentioned this, it's Viper's most famous quote. The reason she made X-rated films was to have sex with 10,000 men at a time. The reason I made X-rated films was to have sex for 10,000 men at a time.
Yeah. And you've probably far exceeded your wildest dreams or fantasies, no pun intended.
No, I'm not even sure. I think it's beyond dreaming. It's a sense of duty. It's my responsibility. I was given the ability to get up, get in, get out, get off on cue. I was given the ability, I guess, to perform roles that people remember, like, of course, Big Dick.
Yep.
Like Harry Balls and Disco Dolls and Hot Skin, Reverend Jerry in Lust Inferno. I've played some roles that people have come up to me years later and said thank you.
Yeah.
And that is all I need. I did it for the glory. I certainly didn't do it for the sex. Mechanical and the money has never been a major force in my life.
Something you and I have touched on in the past was the infamous Big Dick role from the Some Like It Hot from 83, I believe, 1983.
It was in 1982, October of 82.
Okay.
I was flown into San Francisco, knocked it out in a half hour, was back on the plane in time to get home for the next episode of Hill Street Blues.
And that's, for those who don't know, of course, a very manic, man-possessed, you know, I don't know if he's in a, you know, angry, came home from work with a bad day.
A sexual phone call to a sex service, and it was, I loved it. I loved that role because I just did whatever I wanted, thinking they'd cut it all out, and they left it all in.
Right. So were you actually kind of surprised when you saw the finished product, like, wow, they actually left me in making this dirty phone call?
Well, yeah, I figured that it was, I think that they'd just taken me out of the movie because I really was manic in the role. I when I get into a role where I can be left alone, I have had tendencies to go nuts. You know, in Dracula Sucks, which I also wrote, mm-hmm. I developed my character all the way through the movie, so it was shot in order. And I became more and more degenerate as the movie went on. And finally, when I'm thrown off of the castle, you hear all my bones break and I let the apple roll down the street.
Yeah.
I've designed roles for myself where I'm essentially licensed to kill. And one of my best scenes is literally a murder scene in Disco Dolls where I'm working on a woman and drowning her at the same time, and the audience is cheering. Unbelievable.
Which
shows you a certain mindset. So I provide a vicarious revenge. That's one of my most motivating factors, knowing full well that when I got off in the face of a beautiful woman, I was providing a vicarious revenge for all the men in the audience who never got that cheerleader.
Funny what you said before. Well, I shouldn't say funny, but what you mentioned before about they're trying to pass legislation now for condom use in adult films. Obviously, you know, you and I have discussed John Holmes, people like that in the past who've died of HIV and AIDS. Is that something that's...
Johnny died of things related to HIV and AIDS, and I have theories about what caused AIDS inside Johnny. And Johnny went to jail, and there's a theory that I have called institutionalized constipation.
Mm.
And you may or may not leave this in this interview. Think of yourself, and think of yourself even alone in your own house. Tendency is when you defecate to close your bathroom door. When you'll piss right now while you're doing this interview and proudly do it.
Sure.
Because you're not ashamed of that. But we're almost taught that defecation is a private act. So what happens to people in jail is they become institutionally constipated. And I think if you did a survey, people coming out of jail, you would find a horrendous number of people with colon cancer.
Probably not far off the truth. And again, of course, somewhat related to is the dominance and the anal rape and things like that that go on in prison that probably don't help, and intravenous drug use. And
well, they're all related, but by nature we are private. Man is the only animal in the world, in the series of animals, all species, that has a door on his restroom. Think about it.
Is it something though? Do you think that's still prevalent now, Bill, in the adult film industry, porn industry, whatever you want to call it, sexually transmitted disease? Is that a real fear or a real concern?
Well, it's a concern. We're obviously aware that we're walking on a razor blade, and we should be walking on a razor blade for the entertainment of the masses without a net. That's why I think condoms. What Viper once said, that the only person who would work, any person put on a condom with her or rubber, didn't trust her.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this great practice with the magnificent cat that's sitting on her lap and her picture on my website, second page, making water balloons out of the rubbers and rolling them on the ground, to which immediately the cat, Siamese cat named Pogo, would run over and bust the balloon open and get all wet. But we found out later on the cat was making a fool of us, because the cat loved water. It was a very thick-furred Siamese, and it rolled in the water. It got a big kick out of it, and had, it was a magnificent 20-pound muscular Siamese that just worshipped her. And again, I think that we're here for an entertainment purpose. If we can easily make a movie that shows why rubbers can be used or how they can be used, an educational movie,
right,
and all of that. In fact, I thought that it'd be a great movie that opens with a bowl of rubbers, almost like a Hoppity Rabbit type story, where they're talking and they're saying, well, I wonder who's going to use me tonight. I wonder how I'm going to... The Adventures of a Family of Rubbers would be a hilarious movie.
It could be.
You know, the only time I've ever appreciated a rubber is when I've gone to a whorehouse where the prostitute washes me and then puts a rubber on me. Because by the time I'm in her, I'm off. That's ridiculous. You know, it's so mechanical, I'd sooner jack off. But they go through the motions of trying to make sure nothing bad's going to happen, and they pay more attention to your dick than your normal sexual relationship. I think that's really the highlight of going to a whorehouse. And I think about it a lot, because I went to whorehouses back in the 60s. My last one, I think, was 1971 in Houston. And I was in and out of there within 15 minutes. But the whole pleasure of it was the washing off and paying attention. And that's about all you're going to get. The rest of it is unbelievably mechanical. And you're so caught up in the moment, you're lucky you don't go off while you're being washed off. But again, this is, again, people have always asked, what's my happiest moment in the industry?
Mm-hmm.
And my happiest moment in the industry is validating everything I've done by having people like you call me and asking me what I've done. It certainly does prove that I've done something.
Oh, absolutely. People are seeking you out for your expertise and your information and your knowledge. That's, you've got to have done something right, and you certainly have to know the industry.
Well, you can encourage your viewers or your listeners, I'm sorry, your listeners mm-hmm. to... get in touch with me if they want to by email to bmargold@aol.com.
Yeah.
Or go to my website where I'm not hiding from the world.
Mm-hmm.
I write mainstream movie reviews, by the way, for a paper called the LA Express every week. And I did see a wonderful movie that I do recommend, My Week with Marilyn, English film. And then I also saw another film which was very difficult to contend with and caught up with me about a half hour later when I realized how really powerful it was. It's called The Descendants. It's a George Clooney, and it's about family and really about what we owe to our ancestors. And we owe them a great deal, because we wouldn't be here without them.
Absolutely. What do you think is maybe the funniest thing you've seen in the world of adult entertainment on set or elsewhere?
Well, I don't know if it was funny, but there have been some amusing moments when I brought a kid into the business, and he didn't really know what he was supposed to do, so he went into the other room. I was directing the sex scene, and I was outside, because I don't really need to stand around. I set him up and let him fuck.
Right.
And the producer comes up to me and says, okay, it's time for him to come. And so I said, well, tell him that. So he yells into the room, you can come now. And the guy said, well, I already have. And, of course, the girl he was with didn't bother to tell anybody. He didn't know what he was supposed to do. So they're all screaming at me that it's all my fault. I said, I thought you told him you hired the guy and he would be coming here for. It was rather amusing. He was able to get it up again. You know, I've had the experiences,
mm-hmm.
and I admit to them, of going off before I should inside the girl. In fact, a perfect example of that would be Rene Bond, who any of your really devoted listeners would know who that was, sort of the Cupid doll of X back in the 70s in L.A. And I finally got to work with her, and I was so excited that, and she knew it, and she was so honored. And she said, I'm honored that you couldn't hold back. You'll get it up again, and you'll get off, and I did. And I told her, I was just overwhelmed by being with you, and she said, that's one of the nicest things I've ever heard.
Well, there you go. It's a compliment, right?
It was, and I was, again, I was always terrified, to be honest with you, but I was more frightened not so much of the sex as I was of the dialogue, because I knew that I wasn't much of an actor, but according to you, I guess I was a great actor in the role of Big Dick, which I made up spontaneously.
The infamous Big Dick.
I just went off on a tangent, and the guy who was supposed to be directing me, of course, didn't have a clue. He sat there being more and more wide-eyed and terrified. And I think I mentioned that the girl finally that I worked opposite, that I wasn't even knowing who I was talking to, I ran into a couple of months later. He said, you scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I thought, now that is the supreme compliment.
True. Before we go, Bill, any parting thoughts, things you'd like to leave with the listeners as far as dispelling any myths or misconceptions about the world of adult entertainment or things they should educate themselves with?
First of all, if you come to us and drop down on your knees willingly and look through that keyhole, you know what you're looking for, and if you don't like it, get up and let somebody else look.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever died from an overdose of pornography.
Very, very true, and I don't think you could have said it any better. Again, Bill, I thank you for your time again. I really appreciate you being on the show, and I will definitely be in touch.
Take care of yourself, kid.
Folks, thank you very much for tuning in to Full Frontal. As always, it's been a pleasure, and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that it's been so, so long. Be sure to tune in the future. You can catch us right here on www.augustdonnelly.com online. Make sure you hit me up on Twitter at August Donnelly. Again, that's Twitter handle at August Donnelly. Or email august@augustdonnelly.com. Be sure to tune in again. You just might learn something.